Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Rochelle Focardi is joining us. She is the founder of XYZ at Work. Rochelle is a global thought leader, a public speaker on multi-generational workforce dynamics and future of work. Let's talk about that right now. Rochelle, welcome to Money FM Weekend Mornings.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you with us today. Talk to us about this whole topic, because you have written an amazing book, and I'm just going to hold it up here and give you a nice plug for your book that you have, Reframing Generational Stereotypes. What does that actually mean? What are our stereotypes right now?
Well, I mean, I think if we look at it, obviously, and if we look at the workplace more specifically, but if we look at society as a whole, I mean, people are living longer, right? And then you have all these new generations that are coming into the workplace or into society, you know, more and more informed, more and more educated, with more and more ideas of what they want. And this is inevitably going to cause some conflicts. So if we look at it specifically in the workplace right now, we have up to five generations working together. You have traditionalists that come even before baby boomers that are still going strong. You have baby boomers working past the age of retirement. You have Gen Xers like me, you know, small generation, but nonetheless, there and going strong. Millennials, who we've been hearing about for the last 15 years. And now you have an entire new generation, Generation Z, coming into the workplace. And so, of course, whenever you talk about people and relationships and people that were shaped by very different forces and that, you know, experience the workplace at very different moments in time, there are bound to be conflicts. And I think these conflicts are very common and I think very seldom talked about.
We all know, though, that, you know, we should honor every generation and the experience that they bring or the point of view that they bring. You are looking at now how to make generational diversity a key item on companies' diversity and inclusion agenda. Why have organizations not already figured this out? Why have they not already figured out, you know what, we can learn something from somebody who's been in the workforce for 20 or 30 years. We don't have to retrench them.
Well, I mean, I think you know, it's a really good point. I think, you know, generational diversity today is very similar to, you know, gender diversity or ethnical diversity or even sexual orientation, you know, up until recently. It's one of those topics that companies are struggling to talk about. I think the idea that there's a lot to be learned from existing generations has always kind of traditionally been there. And I think what's actually changing is the way that the new generations look into the workplace. So the challenge really is to be able for organizations to be able to continue to leverage on that experience and that knowledge that the older generations can bring to the table, but at the same time empower the new generations to come in and really work on high impact projects from a very early time. And unfortunately, you know, with every generation, I mean, even Joe Cocker says it, every generation has a way, a need to disobey. There's others that say, you know, every generation imagines itself to be, you know, more intelligent than the one that came before it and wiser than the one that came after it.
Harder working, all that, yeah.
Exactly. And so I think at the root of these conflicts is just this kind of more traditional hierarchical way of doing business versus, you know, these new generations coming in saying, you know, just because we don't have the experience, it doesn't mean that we don't have anything to contribute. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't be part of the big conversations. And I think organizations get it. And many realize that when they do have these kind of multi-generational team, when they give older generations the opportunity to really work alongside the new generations and leverage on their experience, but at the same time, you know, help them, support them, listen to them and give them a voice, innovation happens. But unfortunately, still, you know, very often in organizations, you have this more traditional hierarchical environment where, you know, young people coming in don't get enough space. And of course, we know that Gen Zs, just like their millennials, are impatient. You know, they want to be promoted right away. They want to have a voice right away. And that can create conflicts and can make people that have been in the workplace for longer, including myself, a bit confused. You know, it would have taken someone like me, you know, 10 years before I could expect to get a decent or a significant promotion when I first joined the workforce. So seeing these new generations coming in, wanting to have a seat at the table and wanting to get that recognition immediately, you know, can be confusing, I think, for many of those of us who were there before.
Interesting.
So this misunderstanding is at the root of a lot of these challenges, I think.
Rochelle, do you think that this really then, you know, and I love that you've written about this and I love that you're talking about this as far and as wide as possible because the time for it has actually come. But do you think that the way forward, because I want to ask you about how do you actually encourage the conversations, because it really is about that, people feeling that they have equity and that they're going to be listened to and that their ideas are going to be taken on board. It's really about who's doing the listening as well and whether those people have actually given themselves the broadening of their own minds to basically look at everybody as kind of equals as well. So how do we do this? How do we have these conversations? Because you touched upon how corporations actually are aware, but how are they actually going to bring this and how have you seen companies especially bring this into force?
You know, you're making such a fantastic point. I think actually what you're saying is exactly at the root of the problem. You know, organizations come to me all the time and say, well, you know, we're thinking about establishing these programs and we're thinking about establishing these initiatives. And I always tell them, doing this before you get that conversation started is almost the equivalent of trying to save a marriage that has problems, fundamental issues, by telling the couple to go on dates. It might spice things up for a little bit. It may give you the illusion that people get along, but it's really not until you address those deeper issues and really make sure that people understand the background that you come from. So, you know, when I was talking to some of the Gen Z while writing my book, I was really surprised to realize that, you know, when they complain about older generations in the workforce, for example, not giving them enough voice or, you know, not wanting to change the world fast enough or not wanting to promote them quickly enough. I mean, I told them about my story and how I was told, you know, entering into the workplace, the first lesson my father told me and taught me was never trust anybody at work. Never befriend anybody. Never be authentic. Anything personal you share will come back and bite you. Any friendship you think you form is not going to save you from losing that job down the line if you're no longer useful, and so on and so forth. So, for example, we were trained not to be authentic, right? So when these generations come into the workforce and meet people like me, and they see that perhaps I have a harder time interacting, immediately the confirmation bias is, look at that Gen Xer. You know, she thinks she's self-important. She thinks she's better than everyone. Yeah. Well, in reality, you know, it's fundamental fear and discomfort that I feel. So, and this is something that came out, you know, very strongly in my book when I address kind of all the fears that the different generations feel in regards to their role in the workplace. So, you know, going back to your question, the first step that companies need to do is put aside the programs for a second and open up the conversation. You know, I always say generational diversity is diversity. There's people out there who say generations are not real, intergenerational conflicts don't exist, people are just people, there's no such thing as generational diversity. And I think it's wrong. I think, you know, how we were raised and when and how we were shaped influences us, you know, in a broader sense. And I think that really starting that conversation and getting people to understand how they feel, the context that they were brought up in or entered the workforce in, this is a tremendously important first step. And I think is more than half the battle. And then once people have that understanding about one another, it's so much easier to be sensible, understanding, indulgent, patient, and be able to see others with a different light. And then, of course, once that is done, the initiatives, the programs, all these things are just going to help kind of, you know, leverage and blow up the power of that human capital. But understanding is the very first step.
Absolutely. Yeah. And sensitivity as well, I think, you know, sensitivity, dignity, absolutely. Because with every generation, there's the light and the shadows, right? So if in a particular generation, you were taught not to be authentic and you can actually learn that from another generation, that authenticity is fantastic and really easy. That's when the great magic begins to happen, and vice versa, that, you know, if a millennial comes in, I've had great experiences with millennials and I've had, you know, other experiences. I've had great experiences with baby boomers and not, you know, so nobody is just made from one dimension. It's multidimensional. Yeah. And to have these great conversations really requires, I think, both sides being able and willing to actually come to that table and kind of say, well, what can we learn from each other that makes sense?
Yeah, we're speaking with Rochelle Foccardi, the founder of XYZ at Work, the author of Reframing Generational Stereotypes. And Rochelle, when you start a program, let's say you go to work for a multinational, they call you in, they say, hey, we want to make sure we bring together our generations, our Gen Zs, our millennials, our baby boomers. Where's the starting point in that? Do you gather people together in a room and get them to start sharing, or, you know, give them homework to do? What is the starting point to getting people to understand each other with a view toward working better as a team?
Well, I mean, it's baby steps, you know, and it can start really at any point in the organization. One thing that, for example, I found companies are interested in and is very effective is just, for example, having, you know, one and a half hour cross-generational awareness session. You know, I do that with organizations all the time, and it's so helpful because you get every generation in a room. You have the opportunity to kind of survey them beforehand to understand what challenges they're facing and what worries they have. And then, you know, you bring them all together and you start addressing this. And you start
showing
them,
what happens in that session? How does that session sound if you're sitting in a room?
Well, if you're sitting in a room, I think, you know, it's funny. I always feel like a couples therapist when I do these things at the beginning. You know, you have your baby boomers come in.
A fair amount
and
of it.
Our older generations, and they say, oh, now you're going to talk to me about these youngsters, these millennials, these Gen Zs, you know, who are never happy. And then you have the millennials and Gen Zs coming in, oh, you know, these older generations that are so stuck in their ways, so resistant to change. And then at the end of the day, I think what you do is, you know, you start by kind of addressing the elephant in the room and saying, listen, you know, generational diversity is super important to organizations right now, because frankly, the problems our world is facing, which, you know, we expect the corporate sector and organizations in general to get behind and help solve, cannot be solved through the traditional way of doing business. We need the power of our human capital. We need to be able to leverage on this ambition, social mindedness of the young ones, but also, you know, the experience, the know-how, the institutional knowledge of the old ones. So our organization needs this in order to survive. We need all of you. So you start to set that up. And then you start explaining people that, however, you know, even though, you know, multi-generational teams and multi-generational organizations can drive such incredible change, most organizations don't think they make the workplace more productive because there are these underlying conflicts. And these conflicts stem from the experience that people have about each other. So let's see what you guys think. And then you bring their experience up to the table. And then you map that against the stereotype. And honestly, it's interesting because even the most resistant, the ones who say, oh, this is just a stereotype, when they actually get a chance to see what the entire organization is saying, I mean, honestly, based on doing hundreds and hundreds of these, the perception, the experiences that people have with generations at workplace almost matches the stereotype every time. So in reality, it doesn't say so much about the people themselves, but it does talk about how other generation experience us, right? Mm-hmm. So I think having a chance to understand that, where you understand it about every generation at the same time, and everybody's listening to that together, I think, you know, after a while, you start hearing the giggling coming in, people start to, you know, use some kind of self-deprecatory humor to say, you know, actually, it's right, I feel this way. And then you start showing the good news. And the good news, even from my research, is 99% of every generation wants to work with one another. They really want to make it work. And there is so much that they want to learn from each other. Like you said before, Anita, I mean, that came very clear in my survey. So many people, from CEOs to interns, saying there is so much that I can learn from the other generations. But outside of like traditional programs, I have no way to approach these people. I want to know how to care about the world and do something about it. If I'm a Gen X or if I'm a baby boomer, I want to learn about how to build a social media profile. And if I'm a young generation, I want to learn professional conduct and how to dress for an interview and, you know, how to gain trust of clients. So there's so much that people want to learn from one another. And there is also a lot of strength that people recognize in one another. So the same way that people highlight, well, my challenge in working with baby boomers is they're resistant to change, and my trouble working with millennials is they're entitled, they also have a lot of wonderful things to say about all the strengths that everybody can contribute to. So I think that just bringing this up in an environment where everybody can hear it at the same time removes the tension. Yep. You know, it opens up that conversation. And then from there, the sky's the limit. You can start having, you know, more structured, you know, opportunities for people to get together, events. You can start putting together multi-generational team and give them, you know, goals that they can achieve together, you know, regardless of experience. So there's many, many things that companies can do. But the first and most important step is get that conversation started in a room where everybody is together, where everybody is the subject, and yet no one is the subject, right? So that really works.
We're talking with Rochelle Foccardi, who is helping organizations figure out the making generational diversity a key item on their D&I agenda. A quick question coming in from Tricia Craig, who is the vice president at Yale NUS College, and her question on Facebook Live is, how should higher education prepare new generations to advocate for themselves and their ideas, but also with the skills to be valuable employees? What should education be doing to instill some of these values in advance of people getting into the workplace?
I think that's such a wonderful, wonderful question. And I'm actually doing quite a lot with the education, educational system and educational institutions as well. Well, I think, I mean, you know, a lot of it has to do with helping the new generations kind of, you know, challenge their ambition and their enthusiasm in the proper way, but also understand the workplace that they're going to join early on. One of the biggest complaints that I have regarding, you know, young generations coming into the workforce is not the change that they want to drive, or is not, you know, the great things they want to do. It's a lot of the time is about how they communicate. So, you know, if you're a young generation coming in and you want to prove yourself and you join a workforce, and so of course you're going to, you know, tell your perspective at that meeting and you're going to share your idea and you're going to, you know, sometimes, you know, they can be perceived as coming in a bit like kamikazes, right? Without much understanding about the fact that the person they have in front of or the idea that they're shooting down comes from somebody who had to spend 30 years working their, you know, sorry, their butts off in order to be able to have the freedom to state their opinions. So very often, you know, like I said, on both ways, is really much about understanding. So just giving an opportunity for these young generations to say, listen, you're going to join the workforce. And we know that you want to change the world and it's fantastic. And we are here preparing you to have all the skills that you need in order to be able to do that. But one of those skills is also sensibility. Be sensible. You know, try to understand the context you come into. You know, develop those strong relationships. You can go to someone and say, you know what? I would love to hear your perspective about, you know, what I'm thinking, because I think this could work. Instead of, hey, your idea is out of date, and I think this way is so much better. So a lot of time, the key is really sensibility. And I think university and education institutions, among the other amazing things that they can do in helping upskill talent, is really making sure that they have this understanding before they come into the workforce. Because frankly, you know, 9.9 out of the ones I talk to, they have no idea what the world was like for those of us that were there before them.
This is really a meeting of new information and wisdom. And I think it's really about self-awareness. I mean, to answer the question that was asked on the
Facebook Live.
You know, I think what's lacking a lot of in a lot of areas is really self-awareness, whether you're a baby boomer or whether you're a millennial, just, you know, or you're a Gen Z. It doesn't really matter, because I think that's where we've basically become. We've become aware because technology allows us to be so aware of everything. But there's very little that's actually driving our self-awareness. And I think self-awareness then encourages us to have those conversations. And also, I think because of community, I'm sure you have something to say about this, Rochelle. You know, it's not just about what happens in corporates or what happens in universities. It happens in your home. What happens in your social spaces? Are our social spaces asking us or allowing us to actually have multi and intergenerational meetings as well? Because otherwise, how do you have any information if your entire world is only lived in silo or in a bubble, whether you might be 70, 50, or whether you're, you know, 21?
No, I mean, I think that's such a great point. And I think if everything that's going on in the world right now and the COVID-19 pandemic and everything else that's going on is showing us is really how interconnected we all are and how we really do rely on each other. We must rely on each other in order to be able to solve problems. And I think, you know, in the workplace is no different. You know, I think, you know, being able to really bring everybody together at the end of the day, listen, you know, we all want to feel happy. At the end of the day, when we're at work, when we're at home, wherever we are, what we want is to feel valued, to feel respected, to have a voice, to feel appreciated, to know that our ideas can be heard, and to know that we're able to contribute. And that's no difference in the workplace. So I think if we start to see each other through that lens and say, it doesn't matter how senior you are or how young and entitled you seem, in reality, we all want the same things. And we do have unique things we can bring to the table. So how do we find a way to combine our strength? Let's forget the seniority. Let's really start relying on each other based on our expertise and skill set. And I think, like you said, that's when the magic happens. And I really believe that organizations that start implementing more of this and giving generation an opportunity to collaborate that way are going to find it really hard to go back. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, I think the older generation would like nothing more than to know that they're really supporting this new generation to change the world. And then young generations would love to be held in high regard by the more experienced ones and be able to do great things together. So, yeah, so there you have it.
Rochelle, thank you so much. What a great conversation to have. And I would encourage people to pick up your book, Reframing Generational Stereotypes, if they're interested in more of this. In the meantime, thanks for coming on Money FM Weekend Mornings. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much.